Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's gone. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's gone. He's gone. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Woo-hoo. Kick up. Kick the ball away.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri moves the 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Rogers Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws.
Touchdown.
Is Red Zone Blitz, Fred House, Mike coming to you here. Hey, it's Christmas week. But more important than that, it's my favorite time of the year. It's because we only have two games remaining now in the NFL season. And when it comes right down to it, probably more games are going to mean something this week than there will be next week. Because once you finally get into technically week 17, Game 16 for all the teams. By the time you get to that point, a lot of things may in fact be determined. Certainly there will be a handful of things that'll be hanging around out there, but really it's, you know, it was last week, it was this week, it's all leading up to it. It's my favorite time of the year in the NFL. And we're going to be checking in on a couple of things that took place this past week. We were talking about it last week on Tuesday night's program. We'll talk about it again. And here you go. The Miami Dolphins are in the conversation one more time for the playoffs. This much, as I pointed out pre-show, this much the Miami Dolphins do know, and that is that they've got themselves their first winning season in 8 years. Boy, that's been a long time coming. That's been a long time coming for some Miami fans who invested a heck of a lot of money in one quarterback named Ryan Tannehill and finally get their first winning season in 8. Wow. But, hey, it might all turn out really well. As like I said, right now, they would be the 6th seed in the AFC playoffs. We'll take a look at what the Miami Dolphins did this past week, at least briefly anyhow, to the New York Jets. For over with the Packers, it's one game at a time, and that seems to be working well for them. That's my recommendation to them. That was my recommendation to them last week, and I stick by it this week. One game at a time, guys, and guess what? You might still find your way at the very, very top of the NFC North, which is where I think they'll be come week 17. And then we've got the defending Super Bowl champions, who, I'm going to be honest with you, I said it last week, I'll say it again. I think we might be getting to stick a fork time for the Denver Broncos. I'm really not even thinking they're going to make the playoffs at this point. They went down to the New England Patriots this past weekend in grand style. I got to be honest with you, I was a little bit surprised that the Broncos didn't even play better than they did. Well, we'll get some thoughts on that one as well. And back at the very, very beginning of the season, I'm going to tell you right now, I dare anybody to call me up here this evening and say that they had one or the other, or even both. If you had both, that's an amazing thing. But I'll bet you that very, very few, if anybody, had the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs or the Oakland Raiders. How about both of them clinching playoff spots this past weekend? That's the Raiders' first clinch into the playoffs in 12 years. How about that one? So everybody's favorite Oakland Raiders into the playoffs. I'm thrilled. 11-3 they are at this point right now, and I'm thrilled that they're there. Not so much, I will be honest, I'm not so much thrilled that the Dallas Cowboys are, but gosh, I mean, listen, they certainly deserve it, that's for sure. We're going to get into all of those things this evening and quite a bit more, because I always know that at this time of the year, take the outlines, take the scripts, throw them out the window, because guess what? We're just going to run around the league and take a look at as many possible playoff scenarios and the conversational flow all around as we go through the different types of things that could happen. That's what happens when you get to week 15, 16, 17. If anybody wants to jump in with us, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here at Frat House Sports. 347-826-9964. I'll put the call out early. I would love to hear from somebody who is a Texans fan or who might be from the Houston region, who could give us a little bit of insight into what the hell is going on with that team. We're going to talk about them right here at the top of the program here in a couple of moments. I'm going to bring up the Texans. But I'd love to hear from somebody down there. 347-26-9964 if you are a Texans fan and can give us some insight into what in the world is going on. Is Bill O'Brien trying to get fired? Seriously. If you want to give us a call, do that. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room. As I see, Shadow Warrior is all over it. I'll have to catch up on some of his comments here in a moment. You can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike is how you can get me on Twitter. There you go. Give me a follow while you're at it. Let me get Brandon in here, because I'm sure Brandon's going to want to chime in on a couple of my intro comments there. I'm sure you're thrilled about those Miami Dolphins. I know you're happy
just
about that.
You're just trying to get me to talk about them. I should abstain just to annoy you, but I won't.
Hey, listen, though, let's start it off, because before we get into scenarios and chit-chat about specific games and what have you that perhaps took place last week that had an impact, I mean, seriously, do you have any insight? What in the world is going on in Houston? Are these people out of their freaking mind or what? They're leading the division. They're 8-6. And Brock Osweiler is benched in favor of Tom Savage. What the hell's going on?
Honestly, I don't know. That's a tough call. I mean, clearly that's a good defensive team down there in Houston, but I don't know. The couple games that we've watched of them and bits and pieces of probably every game, we haven't seen what we thought we'd see out of Brock Osweiler. You know what I mean? In other words, I think maybe they were kind of hoping for more than they're getting. And I think that's probably the issue at this time. Now, you know, maybe the benching is, you know, Bill O'Brien's way of giving him a wake up call or something to that effect. I don't know, but you know, it seems they're in a bind because they paid him $21 million this year. He's guaranteed 16 next year, and it's all guaranteed. And to cut him outright or move him would be a $21 million cap hit with the salary cap acceleration. So, yeah, you're not going to see him go anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, I it's interesting. There are interesting comments coming here in our Blog Talk Radio chat room from Shadow Warrior, who is a Raiders fan, but making some comments for us with some interesting insight with regard to the Houston Texans situation. First of all, he asked me, do you want to keep playing Brock? Do you want to keep playing Brock? They reached badly on that dude. Well, there's no doubt about it. I think everybody knows that. And I even said it last year, you know, when, you know, they went back and forth. Is Brock Osweiler going to stay in Denver? Is he not? And you kind of, I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, but I think, Brandon, you kind of felt, hey, no, Brock's ready for big time. And I kept kind of keeping a hands, you know, arm's length sort of situation with Osweiler. I wasn't even sure whether he was the right fit for the Denver Broncos, to be perfectly honest. You can say, well, he played well in Peyton's absence or whatever. And I was like, I don't know. There's no doubt about it. I think Houston reached. You don't drop that kind of cash, that kind of a contract on basically an unknown quantity. I think the other thing that the Houston Texans did they really do their due diligence? It seemed to me they acted very quickly on the whole Brock Osweiler thing. But don't you have to play him simply because of what you just said, and that is the investment factor?
Not if you're in a playoff hunt and you think Tom Savage is a better quarterback. You're doing the rest of the team a disservice. If you think he's a better quarterback for your team right now, you got to play him. It's no different than Tony Romo sitting on the bench collecting, what, $10, $12 million this year while Dak Prescott's out there for the league minimum. I mean, you got to play your hot hand, your whoever's leading the team better. Especially in the Texans' case, the Texans are in a dogfight teams for their division. You know, they can't afford to lose games. And if Brock Osweiler's not, you know, the answer, you know, they're currently tied for first with the Titans, and the Colts are only one game back. And I'm sure they're all going to be playing each other over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, you got to go with who you think gives you the best chance to win at this point. Now, moving forward, that's a different story. But, you know, with two games left in the year, you know, that's what you got to do. You got to make the playoffs, because once you're out, you know, what good's it do you, you know?
Yeah, it just seems to me, though, with what? I mean, they pulled Brock Osweiler out of Sunday's game after 11 passes. Two of them, by the way, were interceptions.
Well, clearly this has been coming.
Go ahead.
This was not just from this week.
Well, no, it can't be, right? You would think.
Right. We've seen a cumulative of bad games out of him this year where, you know, we both asked the question to each other, where is he? What's he doing? You know, he's just not what he was last year. And, you know, maybe he was overly inflated by that defense and the players around him. I don't know. But, you know, the Texans kind of, like you said, they made a huge investment, so they're kind of stuck with him for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, like I said, you know, the Tom Savage experiment could last all a half. He could throw two pick sixes in the first half, and we'll be back to Brock Osweiler. You know, that's kind of the fluidity I'm seeing from the Texans right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's already pulled the trigger once, you know, and, you know, if the other guy sucks, you know, because, you know, the backup quarterback's always in a sweet deal because he's coming in when the starter's struggling. You know, the other team didn't prepare for him all week, you know, like this week. Tom Savage is going to be viewed on film by the, you know, whoever the Texans are playing this week. You know, so it's a lot different. It's a lot different of a situation. And, you know, he may not look so hot as a starting quarterback.
Well,
it wouldn't surprise me anyway.
I mean, I hear everything you're saying, and I agree with everything you're saying. And as you point out, we've watched a good deal of the Texans this past season, as we watch all teams here. But it just seems to me when you are in playoff mode to be looking to go to a back. This is why I would really, really love to hear from a die-hard Houston Texans fan to gauge where they're coming from on this whole thing and whether, in fact, they're in agreement with this situation or not. In fact, I might have to see whether I can scram somebody up for our Thursday night program. Perhaps maybe I can reach out to somebody from down there in Houston and get them on the air with us on Thursday night. Because to me, it's, I mean, yeah, all right. But listen, Houston won on Sunday with Tom Savage back there. They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 21-20. They took their record to 8-6. They stay at the top of the AFC South. They're just ahead of the Tennessee Titans, who have the same record as they do. But, I mean, you're two games away from potentially going to the playoffs, and what? Are we going to Tom Savage for the remainder of the season? I mean, that certainly appears to be what the case is. They announced that, in fact, he is the starter.
Well, I think you're making, you know, a bigger deal out of it than it is. I think it's simply...
Really?
I do. I think it's simply just, you know, a coach's reaction to, you know, poor starting quarterback play. And I think it could be reversed just as quick as it was implemented, given the right set of circumstances happen. You know, I don't think it's, you know, this isn't a career decision for either quarterback. It's two games, and it's the guy that he's playing, the guy he thinks is going to give him a better chance to make the playoffs, whether he's right or wrong. And maybe, you know, like you said, maybe it'll cost him his job in the long run, you know, because, you know, I saw a quote from the ownership of Houston that, you know, that was a pretty, what you call ballsy move to bench your newly signed high priced free agent quarterback. So, you know, I don't think you can read any more into it other than this is just Tom or Bill O'Brien's opinion that Tom Savage is the way to make the playoffs. I don't think it's any deeper or any more involved than that. I think he may be trying to send a message to Osweiler, you know, saying, look, you're not untouchable, you know. But let's face it, Osweiler, what they've been getting out of their quarterback position, you know, just about any backup in the league could probably give you what Osweiler's been giving them. So, really, is it a step back? No. They've been winning for the most part on the back of their defense, the Texans have. So, you know,
well,
I think
no,
that's
and you're right.
The long
and
short
we,
of it. I don't think there's any more to read into, though. I don't think it's going to be – I don't think this is like a franchise-changing decision. You know what I mean? I think things like Dak Prescott and Tony Romo are more of a franchise-changing situation than this. I think this is just a, you know, a Band-Aid attempt to try to get into playoffs this year. That's all I think this is. I don't think it's any more than that.
No, and listen, you're right. I mean, we've talked about the AFC South all season long and the fact that, you know, look, it's a weak division. And,
yep.
You know, easy enough perhaps. Well, you know, look, you got to play six games with inside your own division, and right there alone you could get yourself you know, if you play halfway decently, you could probably get yourself a pretty good record just from that. So, you know, I understand all the different, you know, aspects of it. I'm just, to me, it's just, wow, the timing just doesn't seem right. If you're going to make this move, do it a while ago. I guess that's maybe where I'm coming from. Again, Cheddar Warrior in our chat room talking about Brock Osweiler. He can't read defenses. He has an extremely slow release, which NFL DBs feast on. He's not athletic. They bought him out. They bottomed out with him, just like the Rams with Goff. Well, wow. Are we calling it in on Goff too? I mean, seriously, I think it's a little early to make that. I think it's a little early on Goff too, isn't it? I don't know. But anyhow, all right. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, and thank you, Shadow Warrior. Keep sending your messages over. I'll try to get some of those on the air here as we go. Houston, by the way, will be hosting the Cincinnati Bengals this coming weekend on Saturday. Most of the games are going to be on Saturday for Christmas Eve play. So the Houston Texans will be hosting the Cincinnati Bengals. In fact, that is going to be a Saturday night game, actually. That is the 8:25 Saturday night game. And Houston is, in fact, favored at this point right now by 2 points in that game. So, all right. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that one, because I'm telling you, it just kind of took me by surprise a little bit. Anyhow.
Oh, I'm not saying it's not surprising. I agree with you there. It's just, you know, I don't know what to make of it short of, you know, what I said. I think it's just, I think it's his, it's Bill O'Brien's opinion that it's their best shot at making the playoffs.
All right. Well, we'll see how that plays out, I suppose, is what we'll do on that one. We'll see how that plays out.
All I can say is he better make it.
I guess, you know,
I can't think ownership's going to be too pleased if you make that call and then you end up with nothing.
What do you read from that owner's comment there that, you know, it's a ballsy move?
Well, that means it better pay off.
Do you think that was a little bit of an indication that perhaps maybe I'm not approving? I don't know. Anyhow, let's get over. We'll take a look real quick here at the and we won't spend a lot of time on it because I don't want you to have to, you know, put up with the Miami Dolphins too much. I said it last week, though, I said I didn't care. You know, I don't care who Miami puts in as quarterback. They were going up against the New York Jets, and they were going to beat the New York Jets. There was little doubt about that. It actually turned out to be the battle of two backup quarterbacks because we had Matt Moore in for Ryan Tannehill. And, of course, we've had the announcement now for over a week. Bryce Petty will finish or start all of the games remaining for the New York Jets. Of course, Petty went out injured in the game against the Dolphins. But Matt Moore, nonetheless, 12 of 18. You know, everybody who's playing fantasy football right now would be in their playoffs. Can you imagine? I'd love to know what the percentage were of people in the playoffs who decided on a whim, perhaps, to stream a quarterback. Hey, I think I'll go with Matt Moore. But I got to tell you something. If you did, wow. 12 of 18, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, 236 yards on 12 passes, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, and a 126.2 passer rating. Holy smokes. Bryce Petty, 20 of 36, 235 yards, a touchdown, 2 interceptions, 61.7 passer rating. Ryan Fitzpatrick came in to spell him. Fitzpatrick went 5 of 10 for and an interception, which is all Ryan Fitzpatrick has done pretty much all season long. You have any word? Is Petty going to be good to go this weekend?
I haven't seen yet. Nobody's talking about injury stuff yet. Still too early in the week. The first round of injury reports comes out on Wednesday. We'll see. We'll get an idea by then if he's listed as, you know, even a partial in practice or limited, whatever terms they want to use these days. But, I got to think they want to see him. Well, my question is, why are we not seeing Hackenberg? We've seen everybody else. You know, what are the Jets doing? Doesn't make any sense as normal for the Jets. I mean, I get it. They, you know, they've made the decision to stick with Petty now, but, you know, if he can't go? Who do they go to? Do they go back to Fitzpatrick again? Or do you give, you know, Hackenberg a shot?
I personally
would not go back to Fitzpatrick again. You know, I think if I was the Jets, I'd be like, you know what, when this season's over, thank you for your time, but, you know, we're going to move on.
Well, I think that's pretty much been the thinking as well, and I think Fitzpatrick so much as pretty much as kind of thinks that is the way it's going to go as well. I had read a piece earlier from earlier today over in USA Today that Fitzpatrick's already, you know, kind of eyeing what the market looks like and where he might end up next year. And it will not be, of course, with the New York Jets. So that's, I think, pretty much to be expected. I might agree with you. No point in going to Fitzpatrick if, in fact, they had to make a, you know, hey, we got to depart from Petty. We have to depart from Petty for one reason or another. Either Petty's not capable of going or whatever. No point to it. You're 4-10. So you're 4-10. Fitzpatrick's not going to be back next year. You know, for all intent and purpose, really, you know what? I'd almost make Fitzpatrick inactive for the remaining two games. That's what I might do. I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, that is unless, as you point out, Bryce Petty just can't even suit up. If that's the case, then no, you don't do it that way. But I don't know. That's I might agree with you. Now, you still, though, are of the thinking that you don't think in the end that the Dolphins will make the playoffs. So, you know, who gets that second wild card? The Ravens?
I'd say it's either going to be the Ravens or Pittsburgh, whoever doesn't win the NFC North. Because, you know, here's the they got to play each other. Okay, the Ravens and Pittsburgh. If the Ravens end up winning, they're going to have the same record. And if the Dolphins lose one more game, which, you know, they got to go to Buffalo, then they got to host my New England. So, you know, I don't think they're going to win out. So, you know, the way I see the scenario going is Baltimore is at Pittsburgh this week. They could, you know, if they can upset them, because they're going to be an underdog, they'll have the ultimate tiebreaker because they already beat Pittsburgh once. Let's face it, the Ravens know it's do or die. If they lose, you know, they're another game behind the Dolphins. So, you know, they have no room to lose. So, I gotta like that. And I've not been liking Pittsburgh recently. I don't like the way they've been playing. I think that, you know, last week when we were watching a game, they came back a field goal at a time, you know, mm-hmm. and they finally did win the game on field goals, but you're not going to win anything in the playoffs like that. You know, you might beat the Cincinnati Bengals like that, but you're not even going to beat Baltimore like that. You know, so, you know, I still like, you know, the chances of those teams, either one of those teams, better than Miami. There's just something about, you know what, if Miami makes it, they're going to be the quickest one and done team in the playoffs, in my book.
Well, it's I'm not quite sure what to make of it, because I'm going to be, I mean, I don't know. I can't see. Well, I've got it down as one of our games for picks of the week for Thursday night. But the Ravens and Steelers are on that list. Steelers right now are a 5-point favorite. Now, interestingly enough, Miami will be in Buffalo on Christmas Eve. They'll be in Buffalo on Christmas Eve. Buffalo is a 3.5-point favorite. Now, probably anticipating that, you know, it's going to be very, very cold. Albeit, right now, the weather forecast for this coming holiday weekend is not terrible. It's actually supposed to get a little bit warmer along the East Coast. So it's not supposed to even be as quite as bad as it was last weekend. But I would imagine the 3.5-point favorite is really for environmental factors. Games in Buffalo, and they're anticipating that it's going to be temperature driven, and Miami coming there from Florida, it's not going to suit well with them. I don't know. I find Ravens at Steelers, that's a tough one.
That game is that's going to be for the North right there.
Yep.
I'm not convinced. Whoever wins that game wins the North. Even though they're going to be tied and they have another week to go, I think whoever wins that game wins the North.
And that is a 4:30 game on Saturday, on Christmas Eve. That's a 4:30 game. So, excuse me. All right. So you're thinking Baltimore or Pittsburgh in that second spot. Now, let me ask you this. If in fact Baltimore loses this weekend, Baltimore still gets that wild card spot?
No. I think they got to win, to be honest, because they'll go to 8-7, and then Miami'd have to lose out just to be tied. the other two teams you got to watch are the Texans and Titans. If they can win out, they're going to be in the same. One of them, whichever one doesn't win the division, will be in the same, argument as Miami. You know what I'm saying? So, they're both 8-6 too. They're only one game behind Miami at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Houston's 5-0 in their division. I don't know how the hell they did that. Wow.
We just
That's
got
pretty
thought,
solid
yeah.
right there.
I know. We just got done talking about that Houston team. It's just, okay. I'm not going to go back to it. It's just mind-numbing.
I'm trying to look at tiebreakers. I'm trying to look at some tiebreakers here, I think division only applies to win your division. I think you go to conference for a wild card. Miami 6-4 in the conference. So is Houston. And both Pittsburgh and the Ravens are 7-3 in the conference. So, yeah, Miami's not looking super stout in the first tiebreaker for the wild card either. So, yeah, I'm going to stand by that. I still don't think Miami makes the playoffs.
Kansas City right now has the first wild card. That's at this moment right now. They have the first wild card.
That's pretty much assured.
They lost last weekend to the Tennessee Titans, by the way. And they're going to be hosting. I think they're hosting the Denver Broncos this weekend. Let me just look at this. Yeah, Broncos are at Kansas City. That game actually is going to be on Christmas Day. That game will be on Sunday at 8:30. That's the 8:30 game on Sunday night. Chiefs are a 4-point favorite in that one. All right, so let's assume for a moment Kansas City gets that first wild card.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that leaves you then, if Ravens lose, that's going to drop them to 8-7. And as you point out, you got Houston and Tennessee. I don't know. I just can't see. I can't see a wild card team coming out of the AFC South. I don't know. I'm telling you, more and more, I really believe the Dolphins are going to get the second wild card. Anyhow, that's where I think it's going to go. That's where I think it's going to go. All right.
I'll be curious how confident you are if they come out
week?
Of Buffalo with a loss.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because then their last game's against New England. And depending how things play out with the Raiders and New England, that game could be for home field throughout. And Belichick, he won't ever rest his starters anyway. So we'll just have to, that last game could be meaningful.
Yes, it could. Ah, boy. All right. Well, that's what makes this all.
I will say this. I know the Patriots have already clinched a first round bye, and if the Raiders haven't, they probably will this week. You know what I'm saying? So I think the Raiders, they're well on their way, to having a solid start in the playoffs. Anyway, you get a first round bye, and you're going to play at least one game at home, no matter what. That's pretty good place to be. To start, they got Indianapolis this week, and Indianapolis is fighting for their playoff lives. So, Tennessee actually is the one who drawed the lucky draw this week. They're playing Jacksonville, a team who's flat out quit.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the AFC South goes, you know, you already talked about the Texans playing the Bengals, and you know, the Bengals are what the Bengals are. I mean, they're, you know, they put up a fight for a half against Pittsburgh, and then they just kind of rolled over. So, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure how that all plays out when it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm looking ahead here to next week, and Houston does play Tennessee, so one of them has to lose. That'll probably end up being for the AFC South division right there. So, yeah, maybe that does give them your Dolphin theory a little better chance. They definitely control their own destiny at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they like I said, they got to go into Buffalo, and then they got New England the last week of the year. So, you know.
Houston plays.
If they
Houston
make it,
plays,
they're going to earn it.
Houston played Tennessee when the last game of the season. Okay, that's week 17. All right, so that's next.
Yep.
That's the following week. All right.
That game could get flexed. That could be the flex, because that could essentially be a play-in game, you know?
Yep.
Looking at the schedule quickly.
I have a feeling
winner's in, loser goes home.
That could end up being. That may make our list already for next week's picks of the week.
Yeah, right?
The other game
where I see that potential, you know, in the last week of the year, Green Bay at Detroit. That could
I think that absolutely could be that one we know is going to be. I've been saying it now for the better part of a couple of weeks. I'm going to say it right now, because let's go over and take a look at the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. That was the next game on the list anyhow from this past week. And Green Bay got that win. I'll tell you, Chicago played them tough, though, really tough. 30-27, Green Bay got the win. Aaron Rodgers was 19 of 31, did not have a touchdown in the game. 19 of 31, 252 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, and just an 87 passer rating in that one. Touchdowns came on the ground. Ty Montgomery had holy smokes. This was the game, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks ago, there were many of us that were playing fantasy football that were saying, well, when is Ty Montgomery going to get going? Well, when is Ty Montgomery? Well, for a lot of us, he got going after our season was over. 16 carries, 162 yards on the ground, and two touchdowns from Ty Montgomery. Holy smokes. Christian Michael had four carries for 45 yards, and he had the third touchdown for the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay did exactly what I said I expected them to do. The one thing I didn't anticipate was Chicago playing them as tough as they did. But look, it's a division game. Chicago obviously playing for pride, probably maybe playing a little bit for John Fox, who has right now been bantered about as being potentially a candidate to be fired. Why, I don't know. I don't think it would be fair, but apparently that's the word. He may be axed come Black Monday. Matt Barkley was on the field for Chicago. 30 of 43, 362 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions, and an 81.7 passer rating for Matt Barkley. The Bears played them very, very tough. But Green Bay had just enough at the end to win this game. Game ball had to go to Mason Crosby, 3 of 3 on field goals. There was the difference in the game right there. So what are you thinking right now with regard to Green Bay? Are you starting to feel like I do? Green Bay may end up winning this division.
Yes, I kind of do feel the same way you do. I think they're going to. I think they've kind of gotten out of their whatever funk they've been in. Ty Montgomery's, you know, seemingly solved the issue with the running game for at least right now. I do. I think that's, you know, I think they're going to be okay. And you know, you laid it out last week. You know what the scenario was, and you know the uphill battle that the Lions are facing. I mean, they got to go into Dallas this week, and that's going to be a tough call right off the bat. You know, and then they got to play Green Bay to end the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think it's leaning that way.
Yeah.
They went from being out of it to being, you know, in a lot of people's, you know, opinion, the favorite.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely have momentum on their side. They're on a 4-game winning streak. You know, that I'm a huge proponent of late season streaking. In other words, if you can get yourself into, you know, a winning streak at the end of the year, you know, I think that's just, you know, nothing but good for the, you know, the playoff run.
And Green Bay certainly fits that description. I mean, they are one of the hottest teams in football right now, not counting
yep.
your Patriots, who have won 5 in a row. Green Bay is right now the beneficiaries of having won 4 in a row to take them to 8-6. And to me, they've got to win the next 2 games outright. If they do that, they would be winners of 6 in a row. And they would have gone from 4-6 to 10-6, just like that. And I'm going to tell you right now, don't ever for the next 4, 5, 6 years, so long as Aaron Rodgers is there, don't ever, ever, ever doubt the Green Bay Packers again. Don't ever. You're not going to be allowed to. The Green Bay Packers just aren't, exactly. The Green Bay Packers just aren't going to allow you to even question them, because all they're going to do is just sit there and remind you of 2016. They're going to go, oh, hey, you remember 2016? Holy smokes. What an incredible turnaround if they were to do this. But I got to tell you something. I really, really has got a gut feeling that's the way it's going to go. Vikings and Packers this weekend, Christmas Eve, 1 o'clock game. That game on our list as a potential for our picks of the week for Thursday night. I've got that one on the list. Packers right now, 6.5-point favorite on that one on Christmas Eve. Oh, boy. 6.5-point favorite on that. Wow. Before I jump off of the Chicago Bears, Brandon, what do you make of the reports that I've heard? I don't know whether you've read any of them or not, that I've heard with regard to John Fox.
I think that would be an absolute mistake. And a disservice, because let's face it, you know, the Bears have kind of been, you know, dumping salary and more or less rebuilding now for the last couple of years, just waiting to get to the end of the, you know, the debacle that was the Jay Cutler contract they signed. You know, he's finally going to be free of it next year, and, you know, to fire the man now, it just doesn't seem right. I'm sorry, I don't agree with it. I think John Fox, you know, has done an adequate job with what he got. I mean, he really don't have any, you know, they let Forte go, they let Bennett go, they, you know, there's talks of, you know, Alshon Jeffrey. Traded during the year. You know, it's like, what's he got to work with? Seriously, I mean, you know, Brandon Marshall's gone, he's a Jet now. You know, it's like every one of their stars from the last, you know, whatever you want to call it, the last Bears, you know, winning team or whatever, you know, they're not there anymore. You know, how do you, you know, hold, I find it just, it's like I said, I think it's wrong. I don't think they should, you know, I don't think that's fair. I think John Fox has proved, you know, his worth in the NFL over the years, and, you know, deserves a better shot than that. And I think, to be honest with you, I don't see why the Bears would do this, because management, you know, management's aware of what they've been doing. They're the ones, you know, cutting salary and not re-signing, you know, key guys. You know, so, you know, I think it's a lot of talk. Unless, you know, there's somebody high up within the Bears who, you know, falls in love with another coach. You know, we've seen that kind of thing happen before. You know, where somebody shouldn't, Lovie Smith in Chicago. You know, we've seen other coaches who've gotten fired who probably shouldn't have gotten fired because of, you know, circumstance. So I don't know. It's hard to say anything. You know, it's hard to believe anything in the NFL anymore. How many weeks have we been hearing Rex Ryan's going to be fired? You know?
Yeah.
And so far, he's still there. I've seen that rumor for like 6 weeks now.
So
after
have I.
You've seen it for a period of time, I think you just, you know, it loses its teeth.
You start to get a little desensitized. Yes, there's no doubt about that one. Absolutely.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, I ain't buying it until, you know, it's official. And if the Bills were to fire Rex Ryan, where do they go from here? Seriously, they have no quarterback. They got, you know, LeSean McCoy is probably their best player. But, you know, you can't build a team around a running back. You know what I mean?
That's an interesting point. Because based on what the Bills currently do have, I actually think Rex Ryan's done a pretty damn good job with them.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
Kind of that's kind of my point.
Yeah,
what I'm getting at.
Yeah, when you take a look at their record, and not just this year, but even last year as well, when you take a look at the Bills and what they have, they really – it hasn't been bad. And you're right. Try to put somebody else in that position to do what Rex Ryan's done. I don't know if they would be as successful. You know? I don't know. Of course, it's fairly new ownership over there with the Bills, right? Was Ryan there under the previous regime? Because we've got
no.
the Pagulas
Pelegi,
here now. Pagulas, yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, however you say it, they brought Ryan in. They brought him in.
Okay.
What's his name? I can't remember his name.
Smith, right? Is that his last
name? No.
I can picture him.
Yeah.
There forever.
No. That was Ralph Wilson. He was the owner.
Oh, okay.
Ralph Wilson Stadium. Chan Gailey was the incumbent coach when the team was sold. He was the incumbent coach when the team was sold. And, you know, after they decided to move on from that, that's when Rex Ryan was hired.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is the new ownership's first coach. So I don't know if that means much, but, you know, we'll just have to see.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just
I'm not advocating Rex Ryan, but, you know, I'm kind of the opinion you are. I mean, for what this roster has, I think he's done a pretty good job, all things
mm-hmm.
considered.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a star-studded roster at the moment. They have no quarterback. Defense is adequate. It's not going to say it's, you know, it's – I don't
it's
know
better,
if it's totally up,
I,
up to
I think
Rex
it's
Ryan's
better.
Standard.
I think it's better because of the Ryans. I'll say that.
Know. Yeah, I would agree. Absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. I think they have – I think the Bills are doing the best they can with what they got.
Yeah.
And I don't see that, you know, a coaching change is going to do much to improve that situation. I think what they need to do is they need to, you know, build a team from the draft. That's the way you do it. You know, find your next quarterback, you know, Dak Prescott, you know, where's your next Dak Prescott? You know, he was a fourth round pick. Fourth round.
Yep.
You know, screw this one or two at the top. That don't matter.
Yeah, and you know, it's a funny thing about the Bills. You take a look at them, and they're a team that plays well enough to get to mid-pack in the draft. You know what I mean? So they don't, you know, they're not a team that's out there going, you know, look, let's tank it. Let's tank it and get the very best position we possibly. So in some respects, you got to kind of give it to them a little bit. You got to get to give them props because they, you know, they play the game the right way, but it's always just good enough to just get like mid, you know, they're coming in there mid pack in the draft. And here they are sitting there 7-7 again. So I guess, you know, they have a shot yet at having themselves a winning season yet. Got a good chance this week. They're going to be playing, as I point out, they're going to be playing Miami, and they are favored at home. So, all right. Anyhow, I just wanted to get your thoughts on the rumors with regard to John Fox. I like you think it would be a mistake to fire John Fox, and I think it would just be wrong. But as you point out, we've seen them do it in Chicago before with Lovie Smith. And for God's sakes, Lovie Smith just can't seem to catch a break, can he?
Nope.
Lovie Smith goes to Chicago, he gets fired from there unjustifiably, heads down to Tampa Bay, gets fired from there unjustifiably, in my opinion. So, all right, anyhow, we'll really get you going here. We'll go over and take a look at the New England Patriots last week and the Denver Broncos. 16-3, the Patriots won over the Broncos. And that was in Denver, a place that you had indicated, hey, you know, New England doesn't typically play well in Denver. Tom Brady doesn't play well in Denver. And with respect to your analysis there, they even brought it up a couple of times on the broadcast that we heard.
Two and five is Tom Brady's career record in Denver. There is no other team or stadium that he is that bad in seven starts. 2-5. That's pretty bad.
What was it the other day? He wasn't great. Now, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, well, I guess he's 3-5 now.
You know, he wasn't great. 16-32, Tom Brady was. 16-32. That's a 50% completion rate. 188 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions, 68.2 passer rating. But the Patriots were able to do enough to win 16-3. LeGarrette Blount had the only touchdown for the Patriots. Tough game to watch, Brandon. This was a tough game to watch, really, on both sides of the ball. If you were looking for offense, the one thing that I took away from this particular game, though, was, boy, oh, boy, the Denver Broncos. Yeah, their defense was there. Their defense came to play. I think you can always expect the Denver defense to come and play. But, boy, this offense on this team, on this Denver Broncos team, has really taken a bit of a nosedive from the beginning of the season. You know, John Elway, I think, probably will go into the offseason recognizing that Trevor Siemian, I don't think, is going to be their guy coming out of it next season. That's just my gut feeling.
You know what I think is going to happen? I think it's going to be an open competition.
Sure.
Between Siemian and Paxton Lynch. And I think, you know, if Paxton Lynch, you know, can win the job in the offseason, that's what's going to happen. Offseason/preseason next year, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. What did you take away from the Patriots and Broncos game? What did you make of your Patriots performance? I mean, it was a little lackluster, albeit, like I said, enough to get them over Denver, who was equally lackluster and worse.
Well, you say lackluster, but I'll be honest with you. If you look at the whole thing, and the defense played well,
yep.
The offense, you know, played, you know, they did what they had to do. You know what I mean? They're not, you know, I don't think they were, necessarily, you know, I think they're aware of their situation, let's just say that, and their struggles in Denver. And I think they played accordingly. I think they played within what they needed to do. You know, they had a solid lead, and, you know, the Broncos kind of self-destructed at times. So, you know, that's good. You know, I'd like to see, you know, I'm all for, you know, a good win against maybe not now, but at the time, a potential playoff team. Now we got a 5-game winning streak. Playing the Jets this week, who essentially are, you know, done, and then we end in Miami, and you know, they could go seven into the playoffs on a 7-game win streak. Maybe, maybe not. You know, that Miami game could suck if, especially if Miami, you know, if Miami needs it to make the playoffs. You know, playing in Miami, a division game, you know, place where the Patriots have struggled, not so much under Brady, more under Bledsoe. Drew Bledsoe couldn't win his way out of a wet paper bag in Miami. It just never failed. But, you know, I think Brady's kind of reversed that a little bit, but, you know, still always, you know, got to be mindful. You know, it may matter. It may matter more to Miami at that point. You know, the Patriots may be playing for, you know, the difference between, you know, first or second seed, where the Dolphins could be playing for their lives, you know, playoff lives at that point.
Right. Yeah, there's.
I think there's a little different incentive.
You're right about that. And if in fact that's the case, you know, I don't know. I'll throw the question to you. Let's just say for a moment that, and I don't know. I'd have to take a look if mathematically it would even be possible. It could, in fact. New England wrap everything up this weekend with a win? Could they wrap everything up? That is first round bye, home field advantage. Could they wrap it all up this weekend? In which case, then going into Miami, does Belichick sit Brady, sit, you know, some of the others?
I don't think so. He's never done it before. Why would he do it now? You know what I mean? I just, you know, I don't see it. I don't see him doing it. He never did. You know?
Okay. Just curious.
No, I just, I don't think he will. Now, if it is all wrapped up and you know, do I see him starting him? Absolutely. Do I see him finishing the game? Probably not. He'll probably switch it to Garoppolo at some point. You know, so... You know, that's just, that's kind of the way I'm thinking on that one.
Right. All right. All right. Let's get over and we'll take a look at, as I've been saying, for the better part of the season, the feel-good story of, really, of the season, and that's the Oakland Raiders. 19-16, they took care of the San Diego Chargers the other day. There's the Raiders again, winning another one on the road, taking their record to 11-3. I just wanted to check here real quick. Have the Raiders lost a game on the road? Yes, they have. They're 6-1 on the road, so they have lost a game on the road. I would venture a bet that Shadow Warrior could tell me who that is, who they lost to on the road. I'll expect a comment momentarily here in our chat room. Derek Carr, 19 of 30, 213 yards, a touchdown, and one interception, 81.7 passer rating. Another solid, solid performance by the Raiders. What a – I mean, just – I'm thrilled for them. I'm thrilled for them. You know, they clinched the playoffs, as I pointed out, for the first time in 12 years. We're talking about them potentially – you know, getting a bye, you know, in perhaps maybe as early as this week. Fabulous situation for the Oakland Raiders. You got to wonder, this is a fan base I would love to hear from, the Oakland fan base, because, you know, we're talking about possibility of them moving the team. In fact, it almost seems a foregone conclusion. They're going to be moving this team to Las Vegas. You know, this team makes the playoffs this year, and if, in fact, they were to go fairly deep, how does that settle with that fan base that this Raiders team might be moving out? I mean, you know, I would imagine if you're a dyed-in-the-wool, if you're a diehard Raiders fan, it's going to bother you whether they're a winning team or not. But to have them potentially looking at moving out, I guess not immediately, but within the next year or so, team that is in winning fashion right now, I would think that's got to hurt even more. Raiders.
Well, here's the thing, though. The Raiders fan base knows their stadium's a toilet. And I mean that literally.
Yep.
It is literally a toilet. So, you know, I think because of the struggles that the team has had, you know, with the municipality trying to get deals done, and, you know, Mark Davis even quoted saying, you know, they always want to throw out a new proposal. It's always the same thing. It gets so far and it falls down. So, you know, I think even the Raiders fans are willing to give them a break. I don't think that the fan base totally, you know, bails, you know, on them, given the fact that, you know, they've tried for so long to make this work and they just haven't been able to get, you know, a suitable deal. I guess, you know, Mark Davis doesn't have the wherewithal to do it, you know, on his own. Not every owner can build a $1 billion palace, you know, on their own, you know? So, you know, I think a move, and let's face it, Las Vegas is, yeah, it's not right around the corner, but it's not undoable for the Oakland fan base. You know, they could, you know, it's like a 3-4 hour, you know, kind of deal. I think they could, you know, it could be worse. It's not like they're moving across the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just going to make a point to that, and it just completely slipped my mind. You know. Oh well. Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying on that one. And you're right. I mean, it's been a long time coming for him. And listen, you're right. I mean, we've stated it here. You know, we're not big fans of teams moving. I mean, you know, we've had our conversations about it here. You know, it kind of it's irksome. I mean, we had the whole situation with the Rams moving again, and we're not big fans. But you know, to all of us, none of us had any issue with the Oakland Raiders looking to better their situation. You know, you talk about. You know, not every owner can build themselves a beautiful, brand new, beautiful stadium to themselves, I guess, much in the same way that, you know, I guess maybe you're referencing Jerry Jones there. You know,
not only Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft in New England built the stadium out of his own, you know, on his own without any public funding. And that was close to $1 billion at the time.
It goes to show you the socioeconomic demographic of the regions that you're talking about. You're talking about Dallas versus Oakland. You know, it wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to be able to even be a possibility for Mark Davis out there in Oakland. That community is not capable of absorbing that. It's not, it just wasn't going to happen. So, But I think this is a great story. I'm thrilled for Jack Del Rio. I like Jack Del Rio. But I'm looking forward to seeing the Raiders in the playoffs and seeing how far they can take this thing this season. And then seeing how far they take it, hey, take your good benefit into the offseason and do something to get that defense firmed up, and boy, oh boy, they could have themselves a team for quite some time if they can address the defense the way they need to. But great.
I think their defense is, you know, it's not horrible the way it is right now. You know, I think they have, you know, they got a solid starting point. They do need to, you know, cinch it up a little bit, but their defense isn't costing them. I mean, they're, what'd you say, 10 and 3 right now? I mean, or 11-3?
11-3.
You know, yeah. How bad of a defense can you have when you're 11-3? In probably the best division in the AFC, no less. They're 11-3 with the Chiefs and the Broncos in that division. And if you take the Chiefs or Broncos and plug them in another division, like the South, you know, they're leading that division instantly. You know? So,
well, let's see.
You got to give the Raiders some props. They ain't backing in any way.
No, I hear you. Raiders currently have the 30th ranked defense in total yards given up, and 21st ranked defense in points per game allowed at 24. So, no, you're right. What they're able to do is their offense right now is overcompensating, in my opinion. Overcompensating. Because God knows they are putting up some points when it comes to offense. They're putting up some points almost every game. Now, this past game, maybe not as many, but we've seen some games so far this season where they have really put some points up. So, but anyhow, good for them. I'm like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing the Raiders in the playoffs. Just trying to check here. When was this? This was the Sunday night game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys won it, taking their record to 12-2, 26-20 over the Buccaneers. I got to tell you something, Brandon. I was impressed with the Buccaneers, despite the fact Jameis Winston had himself three interceptions in this game. But Jameis Winston was 17-35, 247 yards, two touchdowns, three interceptions. Dak Prescott, there was a lot of rumblings from last week's game. And of course, we heard all the talk. Well, do you think Jason Garrett might pull Dak Prescott if he's not playing up to par? Will he pull him and put Tony Romo in? And, well, what if Dak Prescott has a bad game again? Do we see Tony Romo for week 16? You know, all these things came up. Hey, no problem. Dak Prescott was 32 of 36, 279 yards, no touchdowns, but no interceptions again, and a 99.0 passer rating. Ezekiel Elliott only had another touchdown again and 159 yards on the ground, and did a little fundraising too, by the way. Dak Prescott had a...
Oh, by the way, did you notice how quickly the NFL said,
yep,
oh, we're not finding him for that?
They knew
they would have a PR nightmare on their hands had they find him.
Absolutely.
I love seeing it when the NFL, you know, they got to kind of eat crap on one of their, you know, celebration rules. That's usually a fine. Now you can't do it. Can't do it this way. You ain't getting away with it this time of year for what he did. And Jerry, did you see Jerry Jones' comment on that, by the way? He's like,
no.
I hope the NFL finds us a big, big amount of money so I can take it all the way to the Supreme Court and get tons and tons of donations for the Salvation Army.
Wow.
That was Jerry Jones' quote prior to the announcement that they were not going to find him. He's like, I hope they find us a ton of money so I can take them all the way to the Supreme Court and fundraise big time for the Salvation Army.
You get the feeling that Roger Goodell, if there was a vote of no confidence, he might get it like big time. I mean, Christ, you got Kraft coming out, and now Jerry Jones making a comment like that. Holy smokes!
Yep. Oh,
but
if it wouldn't be for the fact Goodell makes them, you know, buckets and buckets full of money for the most part, that man would be long gone. You know, I still say he's one major incident away from being gone.
I don't know.
Black eye type thing. But luckily, he's kind of caught a break because everybody's kind of behaving for the most part. You know?
I don't know.
He hasn't had to make any tough disciplinary decisions or anything like that right now.
Yeah, and managed to make sure he didn't step into Deflategate, too. That was a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, he sidestepped that.
Yep.
Quick as he possibly could.
Absolutely. I don't know if you read or heard, but apparently the Salvation Army said that they have seen a spike of 65% in donations as a result of Zeke Elliott. 65%. Isn't that fantastic?
How much you want to bet that this thing keeps getting more play and it just keeps driving their message home even more?
I
don't think we've seen the end.
The Salvation Army does most of their fundraising, obviously, at this time of year. They need to play it up as much as they possibly can.
I just wish the bell wasn't so damn annoying. When you go into every store you go into, it's like, come on, give the bell a break. But, I don't know. I guess that's just the way they've been doing it.
I'm telling you, they need to come up with print advertising and everything with pictures of Elliot in the kettle. That's what they need to do.
If you catch the shot from the end zone, it kind of shows him, put his one hand on the top of the bowl and kind of peek out. That's the shot. That's the shot they got to use.
Yep.
This is Ezekiel Elliott kind of peeking out from the bucket.
Yep.
Yeah, or whatever
inside.
It is.
Yep. Absolutely. I was impressed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this and their resiliency, because they were down 17-6 at the half and Tampa Bay came back and they scored 14 points in the third quarter and they made it close. I mean, it was, at that point, what was the score? The score would have been 20-17 going into the fourth quarter. So Tampa Bay had them on the run for a good portion of it. And, you got to kind of feel Tampa Bay is one of those teams that's coming on. I mean, going into this, they were going into this particular game, one of the hottest teams in all of football with that winning streak. What did they have, 4 games or 5 games in a row? And, I'm looking at it. Wild cards? Is Tampa Bay the second wild card?
Maybe. Possibly. That loss doesn't help them, obviously, because that's a division. That's a conference loss, to the Cowboys. So, that's going to hurt them in tiebreakers. I mean, if you're looking at it right now, I think you got to give, one spot to the Giants, and then everybody else is, a lot of teams are in the mix for the other one. I mean, you're essentially giving the South to the Falcons if you're going to put Tampa in the wild card mix at that point, correct?
Yes. I mean, at this point, right now.
Yeah. I mean, Detroit, they're going to have the same record if they lose to Dallas. And then they could lose again to the Packers at the end for the last game. So, I don't know. Right now, Washington's not looking like world beaters after last night.
Nope.
So, I don't know. Tampa's as good as any at this moment in the NFC. I think it's going to be tough to get one out of the North the only way you'll get one out of the North is if Detroit upsets Dallas and Green Bay and the Lions stay the way they are going into the last week. And then, Green Bay wins. That'll knock Detroit down to 10-6. Maybe that way you could see it. Just looking at the scenarios the way they are right now, it's kind of, Washington really hurt themselves by getting that sixth loss because now the tie doesn't help them. Now the tie is hurting them. If they could have kept that loss to 5, they'd have been in much better shape for the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have to look at Tampa's remaining schedule, but, they're certainly in the mix.
Well, let's see. Tampa Bay this week is going to New Orleans. They will be in New Orleans.
That's a winnable game.
And that is a 4:30 game on Christmas Eve. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. New Orleans is a 3-point favorite. over-under on that game is the highest on the board at 53. Oh,
are you shocked?
Yeah,
are
really.
Are you shocked that New Orleans is the highest over-under?
53. Holy smokes. Atlanta, Carolina is the second highest over-under on the board at 52.5. Atlanta, Carolina. So, New Orleans is who Tampa Bay will be playing this weekend. And you're right. I mean, that is a winnable game, despite the fact New Orleans right now is the favorite. I'm looking at the standings. So I'm thinking, okay, I would agree with you. I think you almost, for the moment anyhow, you almost have to give a nod. One of those wild cards is going to the Giants. All right? So that leaves the other two. That leaves it up for conversation between Detroit, Green Bay, that is, whoever doesn't win that division, and yeah, that's what it would lead it up to them and Tampa Bay. That's who it comes down to. Because if Green Bay wins that division outright, that's going to push Detroit down, depending on how many losses Detroit takes. But it's going to come down between Tampa Bay and whoever the second team is in the NFC North is where I think it's going to come down to. That's who your wild card's going to be. That's my gut feeling on that one. Sure looks that way anyhow. But
I would
good
agree.
Good game on Sunday night with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. It lived up to its Sunday night billing. That's for sure. It was a good one. Tennessee Titans. Want to touch on them real quick since we have a couple of minutes. What do you make of the Tennessee? Now let me just. I don't have the stats for this game. Let me just pull it up here real quick because I wasn't expecting to go over it. Tennessee shocked everybody, and I don't think there was anybody more shocked actually than Andy Reid, because when you saw at the end of the game. Or right near the end of the game. I don't know if you remember seeing it, but the camera panned along the sideline of the Chiefs. You just saw Reed with his, you know, in that with the head down, just shaking his head like, oh, man, I can't believe this. I just cannot believe this. Tennessee came back, scored 12 points in the fourth quarter and beat the Kansas City Chiefs 19-17. Marcus Mariota was 19-33. 231 yards and an interception. Two rushing touchdowns for the Titans from Derrick Henry. 89 yards. That was it from DeMarco Murray. Kansas City defense came to play that game. We saw them. And they did a pretty good job of shutting things down. Alex Smith was okay. 15-28. 163 yards. It was a cold, brutal day there. What did we see? -9 or something? Wind chills?
Yep.
There in Kansas
City? We saw quite a few cold games last week, and I think we could again. I mean, we're in that season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this time of year, you know, and going into the playoffs, outdoor games, you know, in certain climates, you know, just looking at the playoff, you know, scenario teams now. I mean, New England, there could be cold games there. Pittsburgh, Baltimore, you know, there's quite a few. I don't think Oakland, I don't know how cold it gets in Oakland this time of year. But there's some potential, obviously, Detroit and Green Bay, but Detroit has a dome. So, yeah, we definitely got some cold game potential on the horizon.
Yep. Except, like I said, the one thing I do know is that for this weekend in particular, the temperature trend is supposed to be somewhat up along the East Coast this weekend. So it's not going to be terrible. I mean, like I know in the Philadelphia region here on Saturday and Sunday, it's supposed to be in the low to mid 40s. So not quite as bad as what we were looking at in some places even along the East Coast last weekend. We were talking a little bit last week on this program on Tuesday night about the AFC South. And you made the point of saying, look, it doesn't matter who comes out of there. They're probably one and done. And you're probably right. You're probably right. With Houston, with the Texans right now being in the state of flux that they are, and only two games now remaining. What's your thinking right now with the AFC North, or AFC South, rather? And like I said, I understand. I recognize what you're saying. More than likely, you're probably right. Be it Houston, be it Tennessee, it's irrelevant. They're probably going to go in. They'll get into the playoffs, and they may be out in one game. But which one is it going to be?
Well, right now, those two, I like Tennessee. I think Tennessee's, you know, they're on a three-game winning streak. I realize Houston's on it too, but Tennessee's win last week against Kansas City was impressive. You know, it's another playoff team. You know, and the final game of the year with Houston and Tennessee is in Tennessee, so Tennessee has the home field for that last game. So, you know, right now, I'm feeling the Titans. I think the Titans are going to probably end up, you know, with that win. Do I think the Titans are one and done? Well, you know, before I say that, I want to see where the seeding falls and who they play. Because, you know, let's just say, for example, Miami makes it, you know, I don't see Miami beating the Titans in Tennessee. I think Tennessee's probably a better team at home, you know, than a Miami Dolphins, you know. You know, if it's, say, Baltimore or Pittsburgh, or, you know, I guess the only way I see that happen would be Pittsburgh, you know, then I'd rethink that. I think Kansas City would be out for revenge against the Titans after the, you know, that last minute loss, you know, last week. So, you know, I think it definitely sets up some interesting scenarios. But for the South, to answer your question, I think Tennessee, I like what they've been doing. Clearly the Texans being 5-0 in the division gives them all the tiebreakers. So if they can, you know, manage to hold on or tie, you know, with Tennessee, they'll win it. But, you know, looking at this week's games, Tennessee has to go to Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville's quit. I think they're done. They're going to not put up a fight, you know. And Houston, you had already brought up earlier about, you know, I think they're playing the Bengals, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I think the Bengals have a better shot at beating Houston than Jacksonville does at beating the Texans, or the Titans, rather. So, you know, I think all the things are pointing in the right direction of Tennessee. Tennessee's going to have to win that. Tennessee's going to have to win that last game because of the tiebreaker stuff, you know. Well, and if they go into it with a tied record, clearly, you know, the winner's in, the loser goes home. Unless they have enough for a wild card, which, you know, both of them having six losses already. You know, I think that six loss is where it's probably going to end for that wild card. And that does give Miami, as you keep pointing out, a pretty good shot at it. I think that all changes, though, if Baltimore beats Pittsburgh.
I would agree there.
I think Pittsburgh's end would kick Miami out.
That is going to be that. I would agree with you. I think that is a really, really big game. In fact, that might be the biggest game of this coming weekend, is that Ravens and Steelers game. Because I think, as you just pointed out, it may be dictating an awful lot of where the AFC is going to end up right down the line. It's going to have a trickle down effect. If in fact, as you point out, if in fact the Ravens were to beat the Steelers, it's going to have a trickle down effect.
What it's going to do is it's going to push that last wild card up, is what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will give you the caveat. Miami controls their own destiny. They win out there, they'll get that last spot. You know, but that means they got to go to Buffalo and play in the cold next week. Whatever cold it is this week, and then they got to finish against New England. So, you know, to me, that's a tall order for Miami. I just don't think they're a good team. Not that good a team to pull that off. I mean, yes, they did beat the Jets last week. I didn't think that. I thought the Jets were going to win that game too. And so, you know, clearly I'm, you know, maybe I'm not the best judge of the Miami Dolphins, but you know, they could find a way in, but you know, I think there's better teams out there. Let's put it this way. If Miami makes it in lieu of, say, the Ravens, I think of the better teams going home. Because I think Baltimore is a better team than Miami. Same way, I could almost make the argument for the Titans as well. If the Texans win the division and the Titans don't make it, I kind of think the Titans are probably a better team than the Miami Dolphins. But, you could even maybe extend that to the Broncos too. The Broncos overall, maybe not offensively, but definitely if you include the defense, are probably a better team than Miami. I think where Miami is kind of benefiting is, you know, they do play in the East, but they have the Patriots, but the other two teams, the Jets and the Bills, just, you know, are not the greatest. You know what I mean? Maybe they're benefiting from, you know, some of the other teams in the division being not as strong. I mean, I'm trying to look at the stats here of the Dolphins, and believe it or not, they're 3-1 in the division in the AFC East. So, you know, they've won three of the four games they've played so far with two to go. You know, they got, you know, the Bills and the Patriots again. So, you know.
Well, just to fill everybody in again, and I can imagine we'll be doing some of this again on Thursday night, but we've been talking about Tennessee and Houston. Tennessee this week will be in Jacksonville to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tennessee is a 5-point favorite. And again, Cincinnati will be in Houston. Houston is hosting the Bengals. Houston currently right now a 2-point favorite with Tom Savage starting as the quarterback over Brock Osweiler. So that is what we have lined up for the AFC South. Interesting scenarios there, but I think, Brandon, you're spot on. What makes the scenario that much more interesting is the Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's the game. So I have a sneaky suspicion that one is absolutely positively on our agenda for Thursday night. All right, there you go. That's our program for this evening. I've been talking a lot about Thursday night. Yes, it is Christmas week, but yes, we will be here Thursday night at our regular time. We'll be coming to you at 7 p.m. as we always do for our Frat House Sports Show, number 275 coming your way on December 22nd. We'll be here Thursday night. So make sure you're here with us as well. I'll be back with you as well on Christmas Eve on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday Christmas Eve program. So I'll be here for that one as well. And that takes us right through holiday weekend. Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern time as well. Many thanks to everybody that's been listening in tonight. Special thanks to Shadow Warrior out there for listening in and leaving us some comments here in our chat room. All right. Plenty of sports on tonight, I'm sure. So get out there, everybody, and enjoy your sports. Hey, 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 hey.